Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into living with FSHD. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and I'm on the journey with you. Having FSHD, I understand the challenges it brings to patients and their families. We're in this together, and this podcast is a space where we swap stories, share advice, and talk to experts to get the latest news. There's plenty to say about living with FSH muscular dystrophy, so let's get straight to it. Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach. Thanks for joining me, being here on the show. You can always email me at fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. These episodes, like all the others, is brought to you by the FSHD Society. Visit fshdsociety.org for a local chapter in your area, or maybe one of our special groups like the Wellness Hour or Young Professionals Feeling Fit with FSHD. The list goes on and on. It's been amazing how the FSHD Society has branched out past so many types of borders of groups, of just chapters that leads to this. It's just amazing. Be a part of something. There's something for everybody within the FSHD Society website that you can find. So for me, this is the podcast that we have been rebirthing, so to speak. I love it. It's been amazing to talk to these awesome guests and people that have come on the show. And some are reoccurring guests, like the guest that we will have today is Madison Ferris. She's an actress. She's currently on a play project called All of Me. It was released in the Barrington Stage Company. And now a big announcement is coming. It's going off Broadway here in April. So this show is being released for that. Call it plug, call it... you know, make sure we get the word out. We want everyone to see it and buy their tickets. The way to buy tickets, we talk about that in this episode and to do that. And in this episode, we also talk to Madison about, man, a lot of things. We cover ground of her being an actress since 2017 and what that jump has been a little bit like. People that work on the set, on stage and off, behind the scenes on All of Me. A lot of people that have disabilities and have amazing skills to bring to the table. They've hired those people to help within all the way to, I think she said, the hairdresser within the episode does the same, or costume person does it and is relatable then because Madison's in a wheelchair. The costume director is as well. And then it's relatable of what Madison needs in order to perform properly and so forth. It's a great episode where we talk about people overcoming and doing anything that, hell, they want to do despite FSHD or any disability for that matter. And we talk about All of Me and how the growth of that from the Barrington stage moves to off Broadway. And then who knows, even beyond, maybe coming to a city near you, but only with your help to plug this play like crazy. Cause if you haven't noticed, live performances still have been taking a hit, especially stage, since COVID. So it's not fully recovered from that at all. And I think we need to get out there, not just support that world, but also Madison and what she's doing. And it's just a great episode. So that's coming up next. Before we get too much farther, though, I always like to kind of, you know, take this time to also kind of just talk about a couple things. Sometimes it has to do with the episode that you're about to listen to, maybe a takeaway, a pre-takeaway, so to speak, or message that I kind of felt within it. But, you know, today I think, you know, it might be repetitive for some, but you know, in this episode, I talked to Madison about even just the image, you know, of having a disability. If it's is obvious, is in a wheelchair, or I talk about how it's not as obvious for me, how I walk. A lot of people talk to me about, oh, Tim, are you okay? You have a limp. How do you answer that? Well, no, I'm not really okay. Like, this doesn't feel good. Not to mention I have massive knee problems, which probably is not really related necessarily to FSHD. So I have a myriad of issues, like so many of us do. And the way I walk or stride is different compared to somebody else. And some people just might go, that's just how he walks. But other people are bold enough to ask, and I'm okay with both. And, you know, we talk about that. People being bold. Is it okay to ask? Is it okay? How do you approach someone that looks a little different, or they need help? How do you ask them for help? Do you say, hey, do you need my help? Or how does that work? And it becomes this like social awkwardness, if it feels like. And I think that the more and more people are involved with the things that they love to do, if it's out in public or not, and we'll use Madison Ferris's example, is she wants to be an actress. She did long ago, and she does now, regardless as if she has FSHD or not. She's an actress. And the more people see things like that, I think the more comfortable. And yes, it's okay that we want to make people more comfortable. Some people get ticked off when they're like, well, I don't want to make, you know, why are you even uncomfortable to begin with? Different always creates uncomfortable. You do something different, you're uncomfortable. You get a new job, you feel uncomfortable. You have a new task, you feel uncomfortable. That's how it is. In order for us to learn, though, we have to blaze through the uncomfortable so we can learn and grow, get better. Same situation applies here. The more we're in the public eye, the more people ask me about my weird walk, the more I get to educate them on what FSHD is, even if it is just for a fleeting moment. Maybe they'll remember it, maybe they won't. I've had a lot of cases where people have said, I've never heard of that before. It's interesting. And then immediately are concerned. Well, what does that mean then? Because they know, like, MDA and, you know, muscular dystrophy in general, what does that mean for you, Tim? And oh my gosh, millions of others? Yes. Yes, because I believe there's more people that have this disease than we know because it's underdiagnosed. It's just kind of passed off. To me, it's almost like a responsibility to give an honest answer and to say, hey, this to me is FSHD, and this is how I describe it to you so that you know why I walk funny or why I have a bad limp and so forth. And then, of course, the wave of, you know, compassion comes over them, and maybe they feel awkward. I always feel like I need to recover them from that feeling and say, it's okay. It'll be fine. It just is what it is. It's usually my generic response on the outside. On the inside, I'm thinking, this sucks. And a lot more people have it. And it sucks worse for so many others. And I wish you would see them too. And I wish you would acknowledge them. And I wish that you would help if they need it, but just simply understand. And that to me is kind of the takeaway today, is that public understanding that everyone has a something, if it's mental illness that you can't see, but you know people struggle, or if it's physical, or both. Just because we have one thing doesn't mean that we're immune to multiple issues or problems. I've always found, in fact, that FSHD leads to more emotional, mental issues that we have to tackle on top of the physical, and one feeds the other. And how do you stop the vicious cycle? Well, maybe that's for a different episode, but I find pushing forward and getting inspired by people like Madison Ferris is the way, or one of the great ways, that we can help cope. So without further ado, I bring you the episode coming up with Madison Ferris. And please follow the show anywhere you find your podcasts, or if it's on YouTube, if that's where you follow, rate, review, follow, 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 and spread the news and share like crazy. We need more people to watch the shows and get to know more people in our community. Now, on to the interview with Madison Ferris. So as we teased, our guest today is Madison Ferris. She's been on the show before. We've talked about All of Me with her before, the great play that she's been a part of. Big news, though, that she wants to share with us, is why we have her on this episode at this point in time here in April. And without further ado, let's welcome her, bring her in yet again. Hey, Madison, how are you doing?
I'm doing so well. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Excited to be back.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. You know, I don't get a ton of, you know, guests that come back or want to. I don't know if that has something to do with me. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it's great. I was really excited to hear the big news of All of Me and what that next step is. Before we hit record, you educated me quite a bit. Okay, this is what this means. You know, it's it's a big deal. This is taking that next giant leap. So I guess, you know, it's tough for me to go, okay, where do we begin, right? Well, maybe a little bit of a looking back. When did All of Me start? Where was it? And then where?
Yeah. Excellent question. So it's been going since I first learned about it since 2017. That's the first time I read the script. And since then, we've performed it for small audiences, like they're called readings. So every year we would do a reading, and then there would be rewrites. The playwright would be like, this doesn't work, that doesn't work. Yeah. We've had different actors, different perspectives. We've even had medical professionals be hired to ask their opinions on parts of the script. We've had people who use AAC devices be interviewed about their thoughts on the script. So it was just a lot of rewriting. And then we had our first performance at Barrington Stage Company, that's in the Berkshires. And it was wonderful. It was a great experience and I loved it so much. And the show was so popular that they decided, the producers said, we have to take this to New York. And that's what we're doing. I mean, it's an incredible feat because theater in America is not in a great place right now. A lot of places are kind of closing up. So the fact that it was able to move forward is incredible.
It's kind of a difficult climate to be in. So right since 2020, it took quite a hit with
COVID
and all that.
Right.
You didn't want to go back and
Live performances.
Like it's still like lingering. Yeah, like live performance. You think it's that like is still lingering within that? Is it like a fear thing? Is it just people just out of habit of going, or
I think it's a combination of things, but it's not just theater. I think a lot of live performances like music and dance and in general, we haven't gotten back to the swing of things. I mean, it's just very costly to put on shows to begin with. So it's that combined with maybe people are out of habit from doing it, but I think if you were to get back in the habit, this is the show to come see.
This is the show.
Everyone can relate to it.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah. So those that don't know, the premise, the story of All of Me, you know, if you look it up, it's a romantic comedy you had in the with dysfunctional family elements, totally relatable for everybody, anybody that has a family.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, I guess kind of give that, right? Your actress, your role in it, all that, like tease.
Yeah. So my character has muscular dystrophy. She used to be a jazz singer, but over the course of a few years, she's struggling with enunciation. And so we meet her at the top of the play, kind of drifting, you know, like not really, she's no longer singing and she's now using an AAC device. So the technology that Stephen Hawking used to communicate is a very similar thing of typing. And then a voice comes out of a speaker to relay the message. And so she meets a guy named Alfonso. My character's name is Lucy. She meets Alfonso, who also uses this technology. And that's about the only similarities between the two of them in that they both are disabled.
Okay.
But his family is very wealthy and her family is, you know, she lives with her mother, her sister, and her soon to be brother-in-law. And it's just a very chaotic kind of white family with right. Not a lot of cash, and then Alfonso and his mother, they're Argentinian and they do come from wealth and he has a master's degree. So the dysfunction is these two families don't get along, and these two lovers, despite all odds, still are wanting to be together. But what's unique about this play is there's very, as you probably have guessed, there's very few plays, let alone films, television, etc., focusing on characters with disabilities. And if there are characters, it's usually one, and they're not a major character. Yeah. And what makes this play unique is we're using technology that the stage has never seen before. And we have not one, but two characters with disabilities and they both speak to each other. they are very much the center of the story rather than the plot device or the show being about the caretakers and how hard it is for the family. You know what I mean? It's Lucy and Alfonso's journey, and their journey with their dysfunctional families,
which everybody, like I said, can relate.
Yes.
Yeah. And that story is like similar to some degree when the families are at rich, poor. I think we all can remember a story that we've either watched on film or if it's in a play setting or book or whatnot, right? We can understand that.
The part
of it all is, yes, to me, is the devices that have to be used for the speech, the disabilities that each share, yet still coming together. So what is, you said Lucy has muscular dystrophy. And then Alfonso, did I say that right?
Yes, Alfonso. So Alfonso
has a
spinal cord injury, and he was injured as an infant. Okay. So when they had to intubate him, his vocal cords were damaged.
Okay.
So it's also two separate disabilities as well, you know? The story is extremely relatable. It's a romantic comedy, but told through the lens of classism and ableism.
Yeah.
So it's relatable, but through something that we don't normally see.
They sound like serious topics, right? Classism, ableism, but yet it's a comedy.
It's the funniest play I've ever read. I'm not even kidding. Yeah. It's really funny. And yes, it does deal with heavy topics, so it does seem like it might be a drama, but I dare anyone to come see this play and not laugh out loud and then cry and then choke on their snot and then cry some more and laugh. Like it's a beautiful play.
What's the dynamic then like when because I'm assuming that you've done a lot of rehearsing, right, in it together. Yeah. What is the energy in those moments? Because it's a comedy. I mean, we're talking like, it's hard to, I've got good like outtake reel here going on. I mean, how is that?
So, we're all professionals, but you know, I think comedy is best when you're playing the stakes so seriously and the circumstance itself is funny.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of comedic miles with using a robotic voice and like with repetition and timing.
Yeah.
You know, so it becomes kind of a little bit like you're watching a silent movie, like you're watching Charlie Chaplin or just the impact of listening to someone and then typing and then waiting for what they're going to say. And then as it's being released out into the world, the facial expressions that go with it. And so it's very like, I've been told that the audience really, really leans in that first scene because it's just me and Alfonso at the top. And there's a lot of mileage for a look like, like, can you believe, you know, so we're always cracking each other up in rehearsals, but we're also making each other cry, like, because we, you know, we talk about our mothers and our sisters and, you know, our first loves, and everyone in the rehearsal space, including the people behind the scenes who also have disabilities. We've hired a collection of staff and crew, lighting designers, stage management, you know, everyone.
Amazing.
Our assistant director is also using a mobility device. So a variety of people. Our one cast member is deaf in one ear. We just all have, not all of us, but a good number of us. It was important for our show that we hire people with a variety of abilities. So that's been really helpful and wonderful. Our costume designer also uses a wheelchair. So for things that normally I would have to explain to someone, I don't have to.
Right. It's totally relatable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not this learning curve. It is nice too to see, you know, someone such as yourself in the role that you don't have to act that you have muscular dystrophy. You have it.
Great.
You know, I know there's been, it's not necessarily me personally, but I've heard where people get almost a little bit irritated, right? Like, wait, this person is acting that they have the disability. They don't have it.
Right.
But there are actors and actresses in the world that could act that role because of their disability, but they get passed over. Do you feel like that's a possibility out there, that like there's some really talented people?
Yeah. I would say I've been acting professionally probably since 2017. Mm-hmm. And since then it has changed quite a bit. I have noticed casting calls where they're like, if you do not have a disability for this character who has a disability, we don't want to see you, which is wonderful.
Yeah,
I think the tide is turning, but it's slow. Mm. But since I did The Glass Menagerie in 2017 with Sally Field, and that was on Broadway. And since then, I have seen casting calls for Laura Wingfield in, say, another part of the country, mm-hmm. where they want an actress with a disability.
Good.
So, yeah. So it's made an impact. And I think casting directors are starting to see how important it is. And mainly producers and directors as well, realizing that we're very much a part of the world, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's authentic, right? I mean, mm-hmm. this is real. This is real life brought mm-hmm. to you on stage as it is, as it should be, not someone trying to act even that part of it out. So do you feel like you're a little bit of a pioneer to some degree? Because as you talked about, you know, Glass Menagerie now is it's being cast, like looking for people similar to yourself then.
Yeah, I mean, I've been told that. I don't know if I go out into the world and say, I'm a trailblazer, but I mean, you can say
it. Wait a minute. I thought your shirt said trailblazer. No?
Yeah. For sure. I mean, I would say I've been a part of the movement, mm-hmm. Not even being an advocate, just literally, just doing the work that I love to do. Which I would recommend anyone do, which I know it's easier said than done, but it's easy. It's becoming slightly easier because there are other actors as well, very talented actors with disabilities that I know of that are making great work. And it's wonderful because I always thought that if I were to be cast in things and people were to see me on TV and on stage, that it would just make life in general easier.
Yeah.
Just by exposure to people.
Yep. I
with
totally
different agree. Abilities.
Mm-hmm. The more you see it, the more it's around in your daily environment.
Yeah.
It becomes so, oh, that's different, or I'm uncomfortable because I don't know how to be. It's like, you know, just be yourself. Right. And I think people get that paranoia about them, or that's understandable. I don't have an outwardly physical FSHD thing that people seem to know. It's like right away, I'm not in a power chair yet, but yet I have a brace or something like that. And if someone happens to notice, I do get like the look like, but I mean, I get probably more looks on my forearm tattoo that when I greet people than I do with my, disability, more questions about that, But I get it. So like, I'm not in that world yet. I'm sure it's coming. How do you deal with that then, Madison? You know, being an actress, being out in the public eye, people seeing you doing your craft. But then you got to go to the supermarket too, right? I mean, you got to do the everyday things and not know what your profession is. How do you deal with those call them awkward, type moments? Or do you have them?
Yeah, they happen all the time. Yeah. Just, as in like someone being like, I don't want to give it away, but there's a really great scene in our play where a stranger approaches us at a park bench. Alfonso, his name's Danny J. Gomez, who's playing Alfonso. And the scene was literally written by Danny and my experiences of being out in the world, you know, just two people sitting in power chairs just on the sidewalk. There, we're going to be approached by a well-meaning person saying, can I get you, like, do you need help? Do you want me to call your parents or something? You know, can I get you anything? And it's just like, who are you? What are you doing here?
I'm just sitting here. Yeah.
And so the scene is so deliciously awkward and cringy and so telling without explaining. That's what I love about this play is it's very educational without being and this is what it's like in everyday
world,
you know,
right? Without being a public service announcement type style.
I mean, as I get older, I get better at being more forward with people. But if someone approaches me asking like inappropriate questions, I'm more likely to be like, hey, you know, stop. Don't do that.
That's weird. You're right.
It's weird. Right. I think it's hard because you know people are coming from a good place. But I also know it's like and a lack of exposure, basically.
Agreed. And because it's not necessarily one thing that causes disability, right? Or some type of physical change in someone. It could be an injury. It could be, who knows? So it's all over the map. No one knows really how to approach it or ask or, you know, this or this. But I can guarantee I know people look at me and go, why does he walk so weird? I'm sure there's I actually answer them. And I have, like, are you okay? You got a limp. Yep, this is how I walk.
Yeah, I think people want a simple answer and they don't. They don't get it usually. Like I get a lot of people say like, oh, feel better. They think it's temporary or that I'm so distraught that I have to move through space with the scooter when in reality I'm, you know, so much faster down the sidewalk than them.
They're just angry because they lost their rings.
I've had people shout at me like, you don't need that.
Wow.
Yeah. That's
terrible.
People are bold.
They are.
Or worse, like, ignorant. They just don't want to, like, acknowledge you at all because they can't handle this new thing in front of them.
Yeah.
But the great thing about living in New York is that everyone has seen it all. So you're not that special. Like,
you're just part of the group, right? You're just part of the melting pot that is New York.
You're more likely to get hit on than you are to to be like, are you okay? You know?
Right. Like, wow, you're good looking.
You
get probably more inappropriate, bold. Yeah. Than the other way. Maybe that's okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's okay. Unless it gets creepy. So with the play moving from, you know, all of me moving from the Barrington Stage Company to off Broadway, that's a big leap up. When is opening night? Like, when is the first showing of this off Broadway?
Yeah. So the first showing is this April 23rd. Okay. And then we will have 2 months of performances that go till June 16th, but if we keep selling out tickets, then we might extend it for like another week. It's possible. But yeah, April 23rd to June 16th.
Nice. And then if it is that kind of a success, are we talking like world tour style here?
Maybe. I mean, it's possible. There's definitely some places in LA, in Sydney, Australia, in London that are interested in this in this play. It's kind of hard to read on paper.
Yeah.
Like when you read it, you're just like, I'm not sure if I can hear what this sounds like. Mm-hmm. But when you see it, you're just like, whoa, like it's a very audio kind of dive into a production. It's very, you're kind of immersed through your ears as well as your eyes, which is really fun.
Nice. It has something to be seen. You have to see it, hear it.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. This sounds exciting. I'm excited. April, it comes out all the way through June. Plenty of opportunity to see it. So where do people get tickets? How does that work? I'm sure it's right online or wherever that may be in the universe. How do they find that?
Well, there's thenewgroup.org, mm-hmm. and you'll see tickets for All of Me, written by Laura Winters, directed by Ashley Brooke Monroe. You can also go to my Instagram, which is Mad Hatter, MADDD.Hatter. And there's a link in my bio where you can get tickets and learn more about the show. Nice. Kira Sedgwick is playing my mother in this show. So if we have any mm-hmm. Closer fans listening, she's incredible.
She is incredible. Now, I remember her, though, from a movie, Singles. Movie.
Yeah.
That was a great movie. Now I'm a 90s kid, a little bit. You know, high school age. So I kind of remember that. And that was a good movie for me. And she played a huge role in that.
Yeah. I think she just did an interview on the Today Show talking about our production. Okay. She was on The View earlier. And yeah, we're just trying to get the word out. And I really hope everyone, if you're in the area, if you're in the tri-state area, I'd love for you to come out and see it. I think there's some talk about doing a FSHD meeting there.
Really?
Post-show. We didn't like set a date or anything, but
it's been talked about.
Yeah. June went to see it when it was up in Barrington.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. We got some good people in your corner here. Everybody's out there getting the word out. Thanks for being here to do the same with us and this community, keeping us in the loop of what's going on. So everybody knows where to get the tickets. I think Aaron, our FSHD podcast person on the scene that handles all the notes and things about the show, it'll all be in the show links too for you. So if you found this on Spotify or through FSHDsociety.org, all those links where to buy tickets will be there too. So there's no excuse. If you can get there. Come see Madison and all the other great, great people, not just on stage, but off doing all the great work to get this play going. Well, congratulations, Madison. This is huge news. Thanks for letting us be a part of that announcement and thinking of us as you try to get the word out. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you for having me and thank you for this great interview. And I'm really looking forward to seeing all of you in the future.
Sounds good. Thanks, Madison. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.